Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Sitting all alone in the studio is Cynthia Hospiter. Good morning, Cynthia.
So lonely.
So lonely. Who's so that? Lonely. I forget. Bobby Darin? No.
That
Bobby
was Rydell. Team America. Hello.
I don't know. Well, anyways, but not lonely, here is the boss, Janet Manco. Hi, Janet.
Good morning.
How are you?
See, we're all together in a way, and... You know, all our listeners, too. So
we're community.
This is the new version of, what is it called when you do it remote? What is
Skype?
It?
Skype?
No. What am I trying to think of? Remote. Meetings. You know, now you have meetings where everybody's at a separate place.
Yeah.
Except that I've got...
Remote-y.
I don't know.
Yeah. Except that three of us...
I'm against all those terms. Like, the new thing in radio when you do, like, an extended thing... is a deep dive. They call it a deep dive.
Oh, God. They call that in the news, too. It's just nauseating.
Deep dive.
Well, we do kind of a deep dive every week in the Lakeville Journal.
But you don't have to call it that. It's the Lakeville Journal.
It's called news.
Full story.
It's your job.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the Lakeville Journal right here on the front page. I will start off at the top, a story by Patrick Sullivan, our congressperson, Yehanna Hayes, promises to help.
The story here isn't specifically what she promised to help on. It's the fact that she keeps coming here to the Northwest Corner, and it's so great, and we really appreciate it. And also that our Governor Ned Lamont has been coming out a lot, and it's only April, and we've seen both of them quite a bit. And this is really, really wonderful news, considering that we used to have senators who would come here and go, gosh, I got lost getting here. It's like, where's Cornwall? That's not that helpful. So a great meeting with the first selectman from 21 area towns at the COG, which Governor Lamont had visited with, I think, 2 weeks ago, and listened to what they said and promised to help, as the headline says.
All right. Then we'll go down to the bottom of the page where you have the pictures of Izzy Tatiello and Jack Murtaugh, who both passed and will be severely missed by the communities that they serve.
Yeah, and a beautiful obituary for Jack Murtaugh and also Ben Heller. And, you know, we always feel like whenever anybody dies around here, it's very important for somebody. So we're not saying, you know, we never want to say like, oh, this person was important, though. Like, everybody's important. But these were people who...
two longtime servants. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Jack Murtaugh helped create the ambulance service in Connecticut. Izzy Tatiello fought in the war, for gosh sakes. I mean,
right. It was a centerpiece of our annual, you know, veterans services and, of course, of the Pearl Harbor service every December. And just a lovely guy. And, of course, Ben Heller also, in a very different way, was a big servant in the community and really tirelessly gave energy to Sharon Hospital and thought a lot about affordable housing and really wanted to help. So a big loss for all of us. And, you know, it's sad to say a lot of greats seem to be leaving us this year.
Yeah. All right. Now, right on top of that, a hard look at the future for area towns.
Yes. So this is Hamish Lutris, and he was giving the talk at the Cornwall, was it the library or the town hall? And it's part of the Norman Dorson lectures for the Cornwall Historical Society. And of course, Norman, again, a great, who was one of our owners, but did so much for not just the Northwest Corner community, but for America as a professor at NYU, but also ahead of the ACLU. And so this year is Hamish Lutris, who's been here a lot this year, and has been doing a lot of talks. Patrick said he talked very fast, very detailed, a lot of interesting stuff, but talked a lot about Cornwall, and it's a lot about its population, which has been a big topic of concern around here lately. As, you know, as population decreases, which, of course, is a boon if you really like forest, but it's challenging for many of the organizations in town. So he went into detail on some of that.
And that ties in with the details or lack of details on that
apartment
plan
in
Falls Village, where it would bring a lot of housing, actually.
Yeah, 28 rental units. And so, you know, of course, we do have affordable units in towns like Salisbury and Sharon. It just felt to us that this is being presented in a way where the public is not being fully included in the conversation, and there's a lot of information that, just as we're sort of discussing it with Patrick after the meeting, we're like, well, so how much are they going to cost? And he's like, I don't know. They didn't talk about it. Like, it feels like a lot of things are not being clearly presented to people, and that they're not clear on what they're going to get if they get this housing. So it'll be interesting to see how that progresses.
Region 1 budget vote comes up on May the 7th.
And, of course, that's after we go to press. The voting ends at 8 p.m. Go to your town hall. Please do vote. It's a 0% increase in the budget. And so we will have the results online as soon as we get them, which should be sometime Wednesday. But we'll have the also the total, the vote totals in the paper next, the week after.
All right. And there was a refresher for area officials that night in North Canaan on the Sunshine Law.
We were very happy about this. We had talked to Charlie Parati, who was an organizer of this, and Randy DiBella, who's the town attorney for many of the towns in the area now, did an FOI conference reminding town officials what their obligations are under the Freedom of Information laws. And we sometimes feel like what they're doing in these meetings is talking to the officials about how to get around them. And we felt that he was really saying to them, these laws are important. Open information is important. It's a big part of our democracy. And, you know, here is what the rules are, and here's how you can find out more information. So we were very happy about that.
A very interesting story by Bernie Drew on food profiteering. It's done with oil. It's done with natural gas, with propane.
And
it's done with food, where people hold on to it till they can get the highest price.
Well, and of course, I assume that this still happens, where the government pays people to leave their fields unplanted so that, and of course, you know, here where our farms are so small, it's not so much of an issue, but I think our farmers are impacted by it, of course, because the prices are the prices, they're commodities. And, you know, I remember a few years ago, there was a spike in, I think it was the price of corn. As people started using more and more ethanol, and it was impacting dairy farmers because it was impacting the feed that they were giving to their animals. But so an interesting story from Bernie as he was thinking about the Stop and Shop strike, and in the aftermath for about a week, I think it took them to really get the produce department stocked again.
Let's move on and go. I saw the picture of the llama, and I said, okay, it's got to be Cornwall. Nope,
yes.
It was Norfolk.
Well, it was a Cornwall llama in Norfolk. Those llamas kind of run.
A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court.
I feel better then.
Yeah.
Cornwall llama in Norfolk.
It's our llamas. And I remember there was a moment when everybody was buying llamas. It was a big investment animal around here, and I think that's kind of balanced out. But Debbie Lebby in Cornwall continues to raise her llamas, and she takes them around for educational purposes, and they're very interesting, funny animals. And so she goes and she gives a little bit of history about it, and she lets the children touch them. They're very gentle. She lets the children get up close to the llama and even says, don't be disturbed if it licks you. They like to lick you as a way of getting to know who you are. And the funniest part, Deb Alexinas, who's a very funny writer, wrote a very funny story about it, and she talks at the end about how the llamas. So the program ended, the docile 5-year-old llama and his owner headed out the door and into the minivan, which can comfortably fit two llamas if they are sitting side by side. So there's, like, I just love picturing the two of them with their legs crossed in the back seat, maybe sipping some coffee.
There's a children's book in that.
That's right, somewhere. All right. And what a day on Arbor Day in Kent. It rained and it was for the new tree.
That's right. And, you know, it often rains on Arbor Day. And North Canaan's, of course, is one of the big Arbor Day celebrations. It's coming up at the end of the month. But Arbor Day at Kent Center School is particularly special because Birdie Northrup, who is a former Kent resident, was really the man who made Arbor Day a largely celebrated American holiday. And they always get a new tree. And yes, I think that it was probably very happy to get a nice, heavy, soft, warm rain that day.
And on the same page, the Housatonic Student of the Week.
That's right. Ian Strever, the principal of the high school, had been the assistant principal. And when he was assistant principal, had started doing a Student of the Week. And it used to be when he was less busy, he had more time, and we really had one every week. But we get them more sporadically now, but they are always of great value. And congratulations to all of our students who are doing such a good job.
On page A4, and we here have met the new owner of Infinity. Infinity Hall in Norfolk and in Hartford gets a new owner, but we're always concerned about the one in Norfolk.
Right, and so it sounds like what they're trying to do, we had an article on this a couple weeks ago, and it was largely about what they're doing in Hartford, which, you know, more young acts and a little more youth-oriented. But the town of Norfolk came out for a meet and greet with him at the Norfolk Hub, which has been a very active, nice service that they're having there in Norfolk. And people really came out and really told him what they think about Infinity Hall and about the shows that they're providing. And I think the message that I got was, we have to stop doing these cover and tribute bands. It's really not worth getting out of the house for. And there was even somebody in the record industry who said, or in music production, and said, I moved here to be near Infinity Hall, so let's live up to the full potential of a place that has a perfect acoustics. So he said, yes, we'll do that. But he said, prices will go up. But, that's the price you pay, literally.
Well, prices don't necessarily have to go up. I think what people would want in this area is if new acts come in.
Right.
But not
good new acts.
New acts that play their own music.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to know sometimes. But I've seen Duncan Sheik there, who's fantastic, and of course wrote all the music for the award-winning Spring Awakening, and is sort of a smaller act, but he was great. And I saw Darling Side, which is, as you know, a band with local roots, really wonderful. So those are great acts, and maybe what they need to do is give a little more publicity so that we can learn who these acts are and inspire ourselves to go out to Norfolk.
All right. Now it's town meeting and vote time. Cornwall's meeting vote is May 24th.
That's right. And so we have summaries of all the town's budgets here. It's been a fairly quiet budget season. It's always anxious, but I would say, fairly quiet budgets, not a lot of bloodletting. And so we've got meetings coming up May 24th, May 23rd. On the jump page, we've got May 22nd in North Canaan. So do keep an eye out for your town's town meeting vote. And just come out if for no other reason than to support the people that put in the last 2 months of working on the budgets for you.
But did you ever think that people are just plain tired this year? You know what I mean?
Maybe.
I just think that people are tired. I hope they turn out, but I think
we're actually having a pool, but with the budget vote,
how many people attendance?
Yeah. I think it's less about the people who come out to vote. I think it's more about the people that are actually on the front lines and doing the budgets. And I do feel like, as always, they really did their due diligence, and there was, there was stuff that was discussed, and of course the school population numbers is always problematic, but I do feel like they paid attention and tried to do it the best budgets they could.
All right. Speaking about budgets, I'm only kidding. Hazardous Waste Day is coming up on June 1st.
Hazardous Waste Day is a big deal. It's one of these small town things where, if you're just new to the area.
They just had one in Massachusetts and one in New York before that. They're big days, so you can get rid of all that stuff.
That's in your basement, in your garage. And people don't necessarily realize all the stuff that's under their kitchen sink. That's, my ex-husband used to have, there were 30 jars of stuff there, stuff that had been there from the previous owners of the house. And, all that stuff has a sell-by date, and it's toxic, and so you need to get rid of it, but you can't just take it to the dump. You have to save it up and take it for Household Hazardous Waste Day. It's free. You have to go to your town hall and get a ticket, and it's a very amusing day. It's like everybody's there in hazmat suits accepting all your stuff, and if you read this little summary, you'll see what kind of things to look for, but don't forget, if you have almost empty paint cans, those can go to your local transfer station.
All right, and part three of your community-supported agriculture stories.
Yes, and so Janice Ziller, who just loves all these farmers, and you can really feel it in her stories. She has such a sense of reverence for them as a farmer herself. And so this is a very interesting farm in Northeast, which, of course, the town of Northeast includes the village of Millerton. It's over there on Boston Corner Road near Brooke Lehman's place. A lot of interesting programs going on in that little part of Northeast, and a beautiful section of road, and I'd say Rocksteady is one of the best-known community-supported agriculture organizations here. They seem to be have really settled nicely into the community, and so find out from Jana all about the vegetables and meats and things that they're going to make available this season.
I like on the sports page, you've got the South Kent School winning the U.S. hockey title, but also the Fish Whisperer.
I know. Well, so the hockey title is a big deal, and of course South Kent has a beautiful rink that they just recently renovated, and it's a year-round rink. It's open in summer, which I believe that's the only rink that's open in summer. And so DJ Dunce, who was one of the champions of the Children's Derby the other day, really knows how to do it. And I was talking, they love Ann Day over at the Grove. So they called her up and said, hey, DJ Dunce just caught the two golden trout that the state always stocks in the pond. Last year, they actually caught the trout during the Derby, I believe. But this year, there were two trout swimming around in the kids' ponds and the factory pond. And DJ knew that they were there and has some kind of a special bait, but really just knows how to sort of patiently sit there and wait. And he caught both of them in the same afternoon.
All right. Well, congratulations to the Fish Whisperer.
The Obits, we were talking about the Obits, and not only do we have Jack Murtaugh, Izzy Tadiello, Ben Heller, but Joelle Holm, who owned the house next door to the radio station here.
And it's
the time.
It's
like a culling.
As long as I open the paper, I don't see my name there. I'm yes. Move on to the next page.
Yeah.
Rob Reiners, the old man, says that. Every day he looks at the obituaries, and as long as his name's not there, he goes about
his business.
Is he
still alive?
Yes, he is.
Oh, my God. He and Mel Brooks.
Yeah. They're both still alive, and they both still visit one another. That's amazing.
Yeah. I think I saw that on Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to visit the two of them.
That's right. Yeah. All right, let's go to the editorial. Open information is the law.
That's right. This relates back to the front page article that Leela Halkin wrote about the meeting in North Canaan on open information. And, you know, we have been writing about this over many years, and it's more important now than ever that we be very aware as citizens that we have a right to know what our government is doing on our behalf. And so, as Cynthia said, we were really happy that First Selectman Charlie Perotti over in North Canaan was the one who gave the impetus to have that meeting. And, boy, there were town officials from all over at that meeting. It was not just North Canaan people. They were from all towns around the northwest corner. And it was really gratifying to see how these town officials really wanted to do it right. They wanted to be sure they were doing the right thing for their communities, and so there was great discussion on this. So that this is what we write about, and actually, tomorrow I'll be going to a statewide Freedom of Information conference over in Rocky Hill, and there will be town officials from all over the state, and boy, you always learn something listening to them, but the common factor is that they all meet the same challenges, no matter if it's a big city or a small town, you know. The same kinds of questions can come up when it comes to what do you release, what don't you release. The standard is release it anyway. We write about it this week, and we'll write more about it later.
And boy, do you have a variety of letters.
Isn't that the truth? It's really interesting.
It really is.
From what you'd sort of expect, which is a couple of clarifications responding to other letters, one from John Morris on the organizer of the voter registration meeting in Kent, one from Kim Maxwell, who's the president of Northwest Connect, talking about connectivity in our area and how their mission is perhaps being misunderstood, and Tony Peel on Eleanor Roosevelt and the Millbrook School. We have, don't miss Dick Boyle's letter on just released The Godfather 4.
So
yes, read that one for sure. And Bernie Ray on North Canaan and shared responsibilities to do with the asphalt plant.
And your viewpoints from Carol Asher, Chris Powell, Matt Gordon, and also Peter Riva, all on really great topics, especially is contempt of journalists really a new phenomenon?
Right, that's from Chris Powell, and he's been doing this a long time, and so has personal knowledge as well as historical knowledge, and so that's an interesting one. Carol Asher on how we find ways to welcome immigrants to our local area, and Matt Gordon writing about language, and so just the headline alone makes you either want to go on or not, depending if you can remember what the subjunctive mood is. But that's all right, he tells you.
You know, when you look at the journalism story, the difference nowadays is journalists in whole have been classified as enemies of America.
Yeah, and
that's
right.
That's one step that has never been done before on a national level. And that's the thing that's scary about this whole thing. It really is.
It is. But, you know, contempt is pretty strong, too. And, and at the bottom of this is, you know, how do journalists operate in this climate? And so it's an interesting topic for all of us.
All right. I had some cod last night, and what did I have with it?
Green beans.
Green beans with some garlic butter over them.
Mm, yum. Well,
of course.
Butter makes everything better.
And the perfect accompaniment to fish is always green beans and some steamed potatoes. So Matt Gordon, who is everywhere in this week's issue. He just if you know Matt Gordon, in summer, you know, he just loves green beans, and it's his favorite thing to grow. He has this beautiful little garden in the back, and he also gardens at the Salisbury Community Garden, which I believe is still accepting applications. And so he sent in this very sweet letter saying, well, I wrote something about green beans, and I know that you usually write about food, but is it okay? We're like, yes, we're taking it on the health page. So all about the most interesting story about green beans and the nutritional value and how to grow them. And, you know, Mac and I always have discussions about bush beans versus pole beans, of which he grows both. So he will explain to you in this article the difference and why you should grow one or the other.
And Joel Goodman has me, and the dogs love it now. I give my dogs green beans in their meals.
There you go.
It gives them quantity. And
it's got a lot of fiber.
No, it's actually you don't give it all the time. But basically the point of them is when you're trying to get weight off your dogs, you try to replace the what you've taken out.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, and it's lower calorie, and it fills you up. Yeah,
but it's not and shouldn't be given regularly.
But I wonder if it's because it's got so much fiber, if it acts in the same way that all fibers do, to push some of the excess stuff out of your body.
Yeah,
I don't know. Okay, that's my theory.
All right, Cancer Survivors coming up at the Grove June 4th.
Yes, that's always a big celebration, and I think it's SVNA that runs that. Yes, Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association and VNA Northwest. So do come out whether or not you're a cancer survivor and support those who have survived, because the struggle doesn't end.
All right. Now, we only have 2 minutes left, but I want to talk about Alexander Wilburn.
It's a great article.
And his review of Avengers. He states it exactly the way I feel. There are people out there that just think, why would you go see Avengers? Well, you know what? I grew up as a Marvel comic fan as a kid. They bring all these characters back and other characters. And you know what? You're not going there to see an Academy Award winning picture.
Although you might be.
It might be, but you're going there to see a storyline that you've maybe followed in comics your whole life and now on the screen. There's no crime to liking
popular things. I have this conversation with people about music all the time, and Alex really lays it out really beautifully in this article, which is, you know, all of his friends from college are a little snobby about it, kind of saying like, oh, why are you going to go see a superhero movie? And he said, you know, he explains very well why he does, and it's a very interesting article. I highly recommend everybody read it. But I also would like to say, don't just go see Avengers Endgame if you're not familiar with the Marvel Universe, because what's really moving about this movie is, you know, I have a teenage daughter who likes these movies. It really wraps up about the last 15 years of movies, and everybody appears in it. It's like the end of a fireworks show when like they just throw everything out. But I was there with people in Millerton at the movie house who I think had not seen the other previous Marvel movies, and to them it made no sense. So it definitely don't make it your first. But also my daughter and I last night saw Shazam, which is more of like a 1980s type comic book hero without, you know, the drama and the it's not as grand. But Avengers is supposed to be one of the biggest movies of all time. It's huge, and Alex does a very good job of explaining why even if you love opera, why it's worth going to see the whole series of these, or at least some of them, to get a sense of it.
I like what he puts at the end. At the end, they clapped in a theater where no one responded, for the film was present. The audience clapped without any feeling of obligation. They clapped just because they'd been stirred enough to applaud what they had seen. It was heartening not to watch something alone, but to experience as part of the world.
Right. Really, it's a very big community, this whole comic book.
Yeah, and I would make the argument, if you do like opera, you'll like this, too.
Yeah.
Oh, good point. It's very operatic. You're right.
Yeah,
it's epic.
It really is. I love them, and I saw it this weekend, too.
Right.
And I think, Alexander, I will agree wholeheartedly, captured it perfectly. Why?
All right. We have about 40 seconds left.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, yeah, Cinco de Mayo is coming. Oh, and Gil... there's a group of people that go down to Mexico every year, and Gil Gutierrez is doing and is this performer who they see down there, and they love him, and every year they bring him up here. So he's performing at St. John's Church this Sunday at 7 o'clock, and the concert is free, and people just rave about this guy, classical guitarist.
He came up here, it's his third year. The first year he came up, they bought him up, they paid him. The second year he came up. This year he's got two people with him, and it's a trio, and they've got five other appearances now that they're going to do. It's pretty amazing.
It's a phenomenon.
But also this weekend, you have the Salisbury Sinfonietta on Sunday.
Right.
And unfortunately, going right up against the Gospel Fest, which is at Hotchka School.
Right, which is always a big deal, and actually hard to get into. So if you want to go to that, you should go early.
All right.
Don't miss all the ads, the inserts, and the calendar to figure out how you can cross-reference and see what you want to say.
All right. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Of course, tricornernews.com on the web, where you can find them, also on Facebook as well.